The thing about leadership is that no 2 years are alike. Each year has its own set of challenges and lessons. 2024 was no exception. As I wrap up my podcast for the year, I'm excited to share lessons 6 through 10 of my top 10 leadership lessons for 2024. So let's talk life and leadership. Welcome to Life and Leadership with Kim Williams. I'm the CEO of Interfaith Family Services, a nonprofit that provides housing, help, and hope for families facing homelessness. I'm also the principal of Kim Williams Consulting, a change management firm that empowers nonprofits to change for the better. And I'm the author of Diary of an Insecure CEO, How I Went from Feeling Rejected to Raising Millions. I've led through a variety of organizational issues while raising over $50 million to fight poverty and learning a lot in the process. I created this podcast to share those lessons and help you to successfully navigate life and leadership. So let's get started. Hello, my fellow leaders. How's life treating you? I know this is an incredibly busy time of the year for so many of us, and I hope that that question prompts your sitting down and thinking about that and reflecting on how busy it is, how you're feeling, how you're doing, if you're being able to show up fully, or if you feel overwhelmed and stressed and may need to recalibrate and take a break. So think about how life's treating you. And while you do that, let me tell you about my life. Let me give you a little update. My life is really, really full. This weekend, I enjoyed an amazing birthday celebration with my family. Now, my family has this unique tradition of honoring each other on our special days in a very special and heartfelt way. And I'm going to tell you, my birthday did not disappoint. It was a wonderful celebration full of great food, which my kiddos fixed for me, as well as a lot of fun and fellowship, happy tears and hearty laughter. It was really a great time. And I'm going to hold that night in my heart for the rest of my life. My husband and children did an amazing job honoring me and celebrating my birthday. And I love them for it. Just, I love my folks, as you know. So that was my life this past week and this weekend. This week, my focus is wrapping up some final projects at work and beginning my year-end sabbatical. As I do that, my focus is completing 2024 reflection and starting the 2025 planning process. So I think that takes us right into the point of this episode, which is sharing lessons 6 through 10. Of my leadership lessons for 2024 and sharing some of the leadership strategies that emerged as a result of those lessons. So without further ado, let's get started. Let's talk strategy and let's talk about the lessons that inspired them. Okay, let's dive right in. So before we do though, I want to encourage you to go back and listen to the previous episode if you have not heard lessons 1 through 5. But right now, we're going to dive into lessons 6 through 10 of 2024. So let's get started. Lesson 6 is be leery of vendors or contractors who don't guarantee their work. Let me repeat that. Be leery of vendors or contractors who don't guarantee their work. So right now, you know, we're in this age of AI where people can use AI to build their websites, to do their social media, to write their proposals. Like AI can make you look really professional, fancy, appropriate when that is not what matches your work ethic or your experience. So it's really important that when entering into a new agreement or a new contract, that you review that contract carefully, that you make sure that there's either some type of guarantee for their work or a clause that allows you to get a refund or partial refund if they're unable to complete the job according to your satisfaction. Also, make sure things like timing, cost for specific services are really clearly outlined. And don't be afraid to ask for evidence that the work was actually done. I think this is really important. Prior to signing contracts, negotiate them. Negotiate the terms. Look at whether or not you have the ability to walk away if those terms aren't met. Be very scrutinizing of contracts. And most importantly, listen to your spirit and trust your instincts when you're entering a business agreement. Like if your instinct says something's off, follow that. You know, I want to be really clear that even this is true of contracts that come from recommendations for friends. I'm sorry, that comes from recommendations from friends, family members, board members, etc. Because one thing life has taught me as a CEO is the fact that a lot of people see opportunity when they see you. They see opportunity to hook their friends up. They see opportunities to launch their business or get business. They see opportunities even sometimes to get kickbacks from friends or family members with whom they refer businesses to. I've seen it all. I've seen people try to hook friends up when we were selling property. I've seen people try to hook up their friends who are in active recovery with new business opportunities by referring them as contractors to work with us. I've seen people refer friends of friends for job opportunities, highly recommend them, only to find out that this person was messy or a gossip, and they say, oh, I knew about that in their personal life. I didn't think they would bring it to work. So a lot of times the motivation for referrals has nothing to do with you and has everything to do with the person they're referring. So that's why doing your due diligence is incredibly important, and making sure that what they say they're going to do, that number one, they've done it in the past and they have the ability to do it now. And this is even true of like repeat vendors. I engaged a vendor not too long ago that I'd used several years ago, and I was satisfied with the outcome. I engaged them again for very similar work recently. And so much had changed about their company, about their structure, that kind of made me uncomfortable when I reviewed the contract, but I thought, hey, I've used them before. I'm satisfied. They seem like a decent person. And even something that happened that I'd seen on social media with this person that I was like, I didn't really love. But at the same time, I just kind of referred to what happened in the past. So anyway, I engaged this company, and long story short, I should have followed my instincts. Number one, when I've had some reservations about how their processes had changed through the years, and I didn't. I just kind of relied on what had happened in the past or how our relationship worked in the past. And that wasn't really the best thing to do. Fortunately, you know, we're cool. It's not a big deal. The biggest thing is that I should have followed the lesson that is now a lesson that I didn't really pay attention to then, and treated them almost like a new vendor and followed the same critical evaluation that I would have given any vendor had we not worked together in the past. So I think it's really important that we follow certain processes when we're spending money. On company money, personal money, however it goes, that we're really very careful to make sure that the work, if possible, is guaranteed. If not, that there's a clause to get you out. If you're not satisfied with the work, that references are checked, both those that they provide, but also just random checks with clients they may list on their website to say, hey, have you worked with them before? And what was your experience like? And then finally, if there's anything in the contract that makes you uncomfortable, negotiate that out or negotiate that away so that you're satisfied with your contractual obligations before the work commences. So that is what I would recommend. That's lesson number 6. Be leery of vendors who do not guarantee their work. Number 7, endorse, appreciate, and continue to do business with good people. I mean, I know that this seems to go without saying, but in this world of what's new and what's flashy and what's, you know, the hottest and latest thing, often we can take for granted those companies and businesses and restaurants and all these things that have been consistently faithful, provided high quality service throughout the years in lieu of something new. And I think that that can sometimes be a mistake. You know, reward people that have been consistent, reward people that have constantly provided high quality work. And if you want something a little different, give them an opportunity to provide that thing that's a little different before going on to something new. Because at the end of the day, consistency speaks to character. And character is something that is becoming increasingly rare in today's world. So at least give consistent folks an opportunity to elevate with you. And if they're unable to do that, sure, you can go on to something different. But I would definitely start at home base with a consistent person in our company or organization that has proven itself to be effective in the past. And with those organizations, offer endorsements, like let people know I enjoy working with them. Help to be a blessing to them in the way that you would want someone to be a blessing to you or you, the service provider. So show appreciation, continue to do business with them, endorse them when possible, because, you know, you reap what you sow. So treat people the way you want to be treated, especially when they're doing the right thing. We always think about that in terms of when folks are doing the wrong thing or doing something we don't like, to just try to treat them the way we want to be treated, show them grace, show them mercy. But what about treating people the way we want to be treated when something good happens? Celebrate them the way we'd like to be celebrated. Endorse them the way we'd like to be endorsed. Appreciate them the way we'd like to be appreciated. Those things are really important. Now, number 8, don't allow others to convince you to settle for less. So we just talked about not taking people for granted, but it's equally important that we don't let other people take us for granted. I think 2024 revealed a personal pattern that has often gotten me in trouble. You know, I have a lot of empathy for people that are struggling. It's probably because I grew up watching my dad struggle financially despite working really, really hard to get ahead. When my father was a professional with a college degree, committed to the nonprofit sector, despite the fact that he did really, really good work, work that was nationally recognized, opportunities for him to advance were still really rare. There was a tough good old boy system in the organization that he served. And despite, again, getting, you know, presidential recognition for a program that he designed, he could not get advancement or even a raise commensurate with his work, though he'd been there for a very long time. So I saw people who worked hard, who struggled, and I developed a lot of empathy for that. I also experienced being overlooked and underestimated earlier in my career. That was often the case for me. I'm in various positions. I would do really good work that they would ask me to train other people to do, but yet I wouldn't always get the opportunities when they presented themselves, despite discussions that I should have by folks that I didn't even know, you know, were recommending me. A lot of times those opportunities didn't come my way early in my career, but it taught me resilience and other things I know, and now I know it was a God thing, but I also remember how it felt. So the experience of watching my dad work really, really hard and not get opportunities, but also myself, you know, in my 20s, in particular, working really, really hard and having to fight for the opportunities that I got, fight harder than I thought I maybe should have had to. Those gave me kind of a soft heart for people who are struggling. And I wanted to use my position to give opportunities to people who may not otherwise get them. But, you know, something that I learned, that not all struggles are created equal and not all crises are created equal. You know, often we make exceptions for people who have sad stories and people that are struggling. But I've learned that people with character are going to continue to be accountable and responsible even when they're struggling or even when they're in crisis. So you don't really need to make an exception to your rules, to your criteria, to your policies, or to your guidelines because people are struggling. The people that are struggling are okay with meeting the criteria, and often they'll exceed them. the criteria, I mean, and often they'll exceed them. But people who want to constantly be an exception is a second, is another story. So I think that I've learned that struggling doesn't mean lowering the standards. It means giving an opportunity to someone who may be overlooked or not appreciated despite the fact that they have more than earned the opportunity. So not all struggles, not all crises are equal, because here's the other thing. People that are struggling but don't have work ethic and character, they're going to always have a crisis. And often that crisis results from their constant attempts to take shortcuts. So for them, giving them an opportunity they haven't earned just reiterates the fact that you can cry your way, complain your way, sad story your way into things that maybe you aren't ready for because you haven't had the discipline and the consistency to be a good steward of the opportunity when it comes. So not all struggles, not all sad stories, not all crises are created equal. You're still looking for people with character and work ethic when you extend opportunities. So I think it's really, really important not to settle for less because the person may have a sad story or maybe they're struggling. And don't sell yourself for less just because the client or the potential client seems to be struggling and you're going to significantly reduce your services. Those things don't work well. You resent it. And then often, even though you give them a discount up front, they still want the full experience and they'll complain if they don't get it. So I think that settling for less across the board is just not a good thing. Again, extending opportunities to people who deserve them but may often be overlooked, that's wise, but make sure that those people deserve and can handle those opportunities. And when it comes to working with and for others, make sure that what they pay you is commensurate to the work that you're going to put in. So don't settle for less on either front, because it's going to just end to resentment and bitterness and disappointment on the back end. All right. So lesson number 9, more people are inspired by you than you think. So here's the deal. There are a lot of people that are looking at you, particularly if you're a leader, and they're looking at the way that you move. They're looking at what you say. They're looking at what you accomplish. They're looking at what you do. They're looking at what you post. They're looking at a variety of things, even though they may not say a word. You know, when people talk about how lonely leadership is, that's not just because, you know, leaders want friends. It's because we do so much work for which there's very little said unless a mistake is made. Like day in and day out, we're working to do good things. And very rarely, except for maybe at the end of the year or the completion of a big project, are words spoken to affirm us, support us, encourage us to keep going. The expectation is that's what you're supposed to do, or that's what you get paid to do, or that comes with the territory. And all of that may be true, but that doesn't change the fact that doing the right thing in the right way, day in and day out, is difficult. And a lot of people don't do it. So those who do are going to often need to be seen. They're going to need support. They're going to need encouragement. What I've learned is to find that in good places, reliable places, and just look for it there. Because if you're looking for it in the general population, the general public, sometimes your team, sometimes your board, it's just not going to come as consistently as maybe you like. There's going to be criticism and what if you did this? And how about you do that? Without first acknowledging that the baseline thing that you did was good or successful. So that's just the reality of it. So know that, but that doesn't change the fact that at the end of the day, people are being inspired by you. They do see what you're doing. A lot of times they're trying to duplicate what you're doing without even telling you, like, you're doing good work. And I'm just here to tell you that. More people are inspired by you than what you know and maybe what you'll ever hear or see. But believe me, if you're doing good work, you're making a difference. Folks see it, whether they say it or not. So keep doing what you're doing. Be a trailblazer. Don't be a copier. Don't be a pretender, just be you and know that people are being inspired by you. Now, number 10, make it a priority to enjoy your life. This is something that I have really focused on this year, and I'm excited to focus on even more in 2025. You know, you've heard the saying that all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. But from experience, I know that all work and no play makes social impact leaders depressed and disillusioned. It's important that we enjoy the fruits of our labor. It's important that we spend time letting our hair down and having fun in private places with safe people. It's really important that we enjoy our life because life is short. And no matter how indispensable you think you are or may even actually be, your organization is going to go on when you're gone. And even in the terrible chance that it doesn't, everyone who worked there will. People are going to move on. So when it comes to work, do good work. Give it, you know, your best. But don't forget to save some for you. Don't forget to save some energy for the things you enjoy. Don't forget to save some time for the things that and the people, most importantly, that matter the most to you. Don't forget to build the memories and have the experiences and go on the trips that when you're looking back on your life, when you're retired or even at the end of your life, you have fond memories that say, I made the most of this life that God gave me and I enjoyed it along the way. That has to be done with intentionality or life will pass you by and you'll be looking for, you know, when the time presents itself or when the opportunity presents itself, you have to make these things happen and actively, you know, participate in your own life and your own enjoyment. And that's something that I'm doing and that's something that I'm focused on. And it's something that I do not regret in any shape, form, or fashion. So make it a priority in 2025, no matter what happens politically, environmentally, economically, socially. Make it a priority to every month, every quarter, you know, summer vacation, winter break, whatever the seasons are that you can build in time for yourself and those you love. Make it a priority to do so and stick with it because life is short. And if we don't enjoy the fruits of our labor, what's the point? What's the point? So let's recap lessons 6 through 10. Be leery of vendors or contractors who don't guarantee their work. Endorse, appreciate, and continue to do business with good people. Don't allow others to convince you to settle for less. More people are inspired by you than what you know, and make it a priority to enjoy your life. These are things that 2024 taught me through experiences and through reflection and through challenges, but they are lessons that I appreciate. They're lessons that in many ways I have overlooked up until now, and they kind of hit me in the face through experiences that I had that could not be ignored this year. But again, I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for growth. I'm grateful to have survived those challenges. I'm grateful for an opportunity to share those lessons and the associated challenges with you. And I hope that you will hear me when I say my whole goal of this podcast, my whole goal of my consulting and executive coaching career is to help you to avoid the pains of some of the lessons and experiences that I've had so that your success could come faster and that it'll be sustainable. And that's really what I want. I want to help you avoid some of the challenges that I experienced just because of lack of knowledge, and give you the knowledge of those experiences so you can utilize them and have a better overall result and a faster result and a better leadership experience. So please know that I don't take these things lightly. I don't take this opportunity lightly. It has purpose. And I hope that you will, as much as it applies to you, apply these lessons, apply these strategies so that you can go further faster. That's my hope for you. The world needs you. Like I always say, I need you. The community needs you. to be your best self and to do your best work so that the world will be a better place. All right, so let me end this episode like I like to end every episode with some spiritual encouragement. I look forward to returning on the first Tuesday in January with a new episode and a series of new episodes after that. Until then, here's a little spiritual encouragement. Here's something for your spirit. Colossians 3:17 says, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." I realize that there's a good chance that not everyone who listens to this podcast is a Christian, and that's okay because everyone's welcome here. With that being said, I am a Christian, and if you listen to me for any length of time, you know how much my faith informs my leadership and my life. I lead a faith-based organization, and I'm fortunate enough to bring my whole self to work each day. Even as a consultant, my clients know that they're likely to get a scripture or two from me from time to time because it just flows out of me and it comes with the package. When you get me, you get the God in me, and that's just the facts, unapologetically. Like, I respect you. I respect your faith. I definitely don't try to push my faith on you, but when you get me, you're going to get the thing that inspires me, and it's going to flow out of me. You're going to get God. It's part of the package. So as I end this year, I want to end it by reminding you, like I remind myself, that the higher we go, the more important it is that we focus on what matters the most. That we remember that our work has a higher purpose, we have a higher calling, it has a higher meaning than just hitting specific targets and reaching specific goals. Whatever we do in word or deed, we need to keep that in mind. So for me, I work in service to my Lord Jesus. It governs how I work. It governs the decisions I make. And while I want those around me to be as happy as possible, the end of the matter is this: I'm not trying to please man. I work to please God, and that focus always leaves me on the right side of any issue, challenge, or problem that I face. Because in the end, it's God at work in me to the will and the do of his good pleasure. That's what the word says, and that's what I know to be true in my life. And I work with him, and I work for him and unto him, because everything that I do is because of him. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for my faith and my relationship with the Lord. The opportunities that I have, I shouldn't have. The doors that opened for me were God's doing, and it's marvelous in my eyes. So because of that, as I go into 2025 with so much uncertainty, with so many things that are unclear, so many things that are rumored, I plan to fix my eyes on Jesus, because as the Bible says, he is both the author and the finisher of my faith. I plan to fix my eyes on doing the work that he's called me to do, fulfilling the purpose that he's placed on my heart, and doing it in a way that's pleasing to him. That's my focus for 2025, even though I don't have all the clarity that I would like. I do have the assurity that God is faithful. So as you go into 2025, I want to assure you, as I reassure myself, God is faithful. Tap into him, tune into him, commit your way to him, and he'll bring it to pass. So let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I come thanking you for this year. I thank you for my listeners. I thank you for my fellow leaders. I thank you for the opportunity to serve your people. I thank you for being called to this work for such a time as this. God, I pray that this time of holiday and celebration will be a time of rest, rejuvenation, and recharge for the leaders that need it. I pray that it would also be a time of inspiration and insight, that you would reveal to us the way in which you want us to advance your kingdom on earth, the way in which you want us to make the world a better place. I thank you for everything that you've done in 2024 and for all of the promises and possibilities that lie ahead in 2025. And again, I ask you for insight, knowledge, understanding, the ability to reset and reimagine for 2025 And I thank you, Father God, that you that have began a good work will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. We thank you for everything you've done and everything you're doing in Jesus' name. Amen. Today's tips can be found on my website, kimwconsulting.com. Just click the resource tab in the menu. You can also find information about my consulting services and upcoming events, and subscribe to my monthly Life and Leadership newsletter. If you have any questions that you want me to answer on my podcast, message me on Instagram at @LeadWithKim. If you found this podcast helpful, please share, rate, and subscribe. Thank you for listening, and remember, change is inevitable, but changing for the better isn't. Change wisely. Thank you.